Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Continuing our discussion now of the visit by Barack Obama to Moscow, and Soviet jubilant voices were definitely not the accompaniment today. The president gave a speech to the new economic school, a progressive economic school in Moscow, just a few hours ago.
What kind of future is Russia going to have? What kind of future are Russia and America going to have together? What world order will replace the Cold War? Those questions still don't have clear answers.
Barack Obama is certainly not the first American president to pose the question, what kind of future are Russia and America going to have together in the post-Cold War era? Joining us to talk about this is Mark Kramer, director of the Cold War Studies Project at Harvard University, also a senior fellow of Harvard's Davis Center for Russian and Eurasian Studies. And still with us is Rob Watson, BBC defense and security correspondent. Rob, is there anything different about Barack Obama's post-Cold War questions and overtures to a new era in Russian-American relations than people in the past, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton?
Well, my instant judgment would be not entirely, that it's more of a continuation rather than a break. But, of course, what does, if you like, add to the impact of it is the man who's making it, and the fact that he's young, the fact that he's the first African-American president. So I think a continuation rather than some radical break in the message sent by others. I mean, of course, he did emphasize this idea that the United States wants a strong, peaceful and prosperous Russia, which I think was exactly what the Russians want to hear.
And let's get to the numbers. The agreement that was announced in advance of the speech, I believe, suggests that, and maybe it's not an official announcement, but we're getting some hints that the numbers on reductions of nuclear forces on both sides, Russian and American, are actually on track to continue the original start targets. And what are those numbers at this point, and where do you think we will be a year from now?
Good question. Well, the current numbers are around about 2,200, and the aim is, what they've agreed to, is to somehow get the number of strategic warheads, that is, warheads which are actually on delivery vehicles ready to go, down from this 2,200 to somewhere between 1,500 and 1,675.
And when might they be able to do that?
Well, the idea is, because the START treaty expires at the end of December, that the agreement on all the figures and the fine print would have to come by the end of the year.
So, Mark Kramer, what do you think the opportunity is here for Barack Obama then?
Well, the first thing I would say is it's somewhat disappointing that here now, 18 years after the Soviet Union collapsed, that the relationship with Russia is still so focused heavily on strategic arms control. That was really an issue of the Cold War era with the Soviet Union. And there were hopes, including with me in 1992, that the relationship with Russia would be different, that it would move on to other issues. And for a while, it did seem that way. But now, because the two sides disagree so strongly on other key issues, the inclusion of Georgia and Ukraine in NATO, the status of Iran, or how to deal with Iran, the missile defense systems that you mentioned earlier, although there's nothing to dismantle yet, there's nothing there. But they disagree so strongly on that they have to come back to this issue. There's still a lot to be negotiated. There was an informal agreement reached in 2002 between Bush and Putin, but that and there's some framework that can be built on there as well. But there's still a lot to be negotiated here. And frankly, again, as I say, it's somewhat disconcerting that the relationship is so heavily focused on this.
You know, let's talk about that anti-missile program. This is what Barack Obama said, talking about the missile plan that was originally proposed by George W. Bush, an anti-missile system that we based in Europe. The Russians very much against it. Here's Barack Obama's reference to it.
I want to work together with Russia on a missile defense architecture that makes us all safer. But if the threat from Iran's nuclear and ballistic missile programs is eliminated, the driving force for missile defense in Europe will be eliminated, and that is in our mutual interests.
Rob Watson, is that going to work, hanging a "this is for Iran" sign around a missile defense system in Europe? I mean, is that a little naive?
Well, I'm not sure that I'd use the word naive, but it was certainly the line of approach tried by the Bush administration, and boy, did I watch them trying at all sorts of different forums, whether it was at NATO or whenever there was an opportunity, and essentially that the Bush line was always that, look, this is ridiculous saying that this missile system is a threat to Russia, because the system would just be overwhelmed by any Russian attack. This couldn't possibly be seen as a threat. But that line of argument didn't work with Moscow then, and I'm not sure that it's really going to have cut much ice now.
Mark Kramer, your senior fellow of, let us remind people, your senior fellow of Harvard Davis Center for Russian and Eurasian Studies, and your disappointment that we're treading over the old ground of strategic disarmament. This is sort of being cast as the White House by the White House as a way to keep dangerous nuclear weapons WMDs out of the hands of rogue states and terrorists. Is that just new packaging
that's a different issue.
Uh-huh.
That's an important issue, and the Clinton administration, Bush 1 administration started it, and then the Clinton administration continued very valuable efforts that did help Russia to secure nuclear materials.
Secure the material,
vulnerable.
But I'm a little bit confused, though. Strategic arms reduction is a separate thing from keeping nukes out of the hands of Al-Qaeda.
Correct.
So it's not gonna help keep them away from Al-Qaeda or people.
No,
in Pakistan.
Strategic arms control was an issue that the Soviet Union and the United States dealt with in the 1970s and 1980s because
Right. The
relationship didn't have much more than that. Nowadays, the relationship in principle should have more than that. So strategic arms control still has some importance, but it shouldn't be the primary issue in the relationship.
Wasn't it just,
it is, but it shouldn't be.
Wasn't it just low-hanging fruit for this trip, maybe?
Yes, exactly, because they're not going to reach agreement on this trip on the other issue. So it was something they could reach an agreement in principle on this particular issue.
Well, this, of course, is how it goes. You agree on things that you already agree on, call them breakthrough agreements, and then hope you can forge ahead. I mean, that
correct.
Makes...
Although there was one important agreement here, which is the Russia's decision to allow the United States to use air flights over Russia to resupply and support forces in Afghanistan. That actually is an important agreement.
Well, let's focus on that for just a moment. I mean, on the one hand, that's cooperation in Obama's war in Afghanistan, which has a certain irony to it since the Russians were sent packing from Afghanistan a generation ago. Yet, it's also possibly the precursor to some sort of cooperative arrangement that could have influence in South Asia, Afghanistan, Iran, and Pakistan. Mark, do you think that's possible here?
Yes. I mean, generally, the Russians share the U.S. interest in countering the Taliban. So on this particular issue, there's a shared interest. Where there isn't in South Asia is in dealing with Iran. The Russians claim to want to prevent Iran from gaining nuclear weapons, but unfortunately, their behavior really hasn't been conducive to that.
Well, Rob Watson, would it be a sign that the U.S.-Russian relationship is moving into a fundamentally new territory post-Cold War if these regional issues were higher profile?
What do you mean by that exactly?
Well, I mean, if there was actual agreement on, besides overflights, but some sort of cooperative arrangement to oppose Iran, to deal with Pakistan.
Sorry, my mistake. It's still early in the morning here, too. Absolutely. I mean, as Mark was saying, I think there's no doubt that the United States shares the United States and Russia share a common antipathy towards the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. But, of course, it's interesting to see when it comes to other states, particularly one thinks of Iran and, I guess, to a lesser extent, North Korea. And absolutely, sure, if you see that that Russia starts to play a responsible game when it comes to proliferators amongst countries that it considers friends. If it takes a more responsible stance, then perhaps maybe then one could say, yes, we have a different world. But, I think we're a long way from that. I mean, if you look at the continuing disagreements over Russia and over Georgia and Ukraine, and this general idea that in Russia that, you know, actually we do still believe in a sphere of influence and we do still feel as though we should have a big say in what happens in former Soviet Union.
Well, the test of the new relationship now going on in Moscow. Mark Kramer, Director of Cold War Studies at Harvard University, Senior Fellow at the Davis Center at Harvard, and Rob Watson, BBC Defense and Security Correspondent. Thanks.
Thank you. The rhetorical speeches of the Soviet, Mr. Khrushchev.